Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
We can't do one and done again.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Appreciate it, brother.
We love you too, man.
Hey, T-Mill, that's Russ. That's Russ, man. P1.
He said
when I text in, baby, I let Tyler know it's Russ texting in now.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I got you now.
Tyler wants to know why you was talking about his mama last week.
Whoa.
We're talking about Mama Judy now. Come on.
Oh, that's beautiful, man. It's always good.
That's funny.
It's always good, man. We got it's time for 5 o'clock fire, y'all. And 5 o'clock fire is brought to you by Kirk Holmes. The Texans injury report is out. We have not hit it thoroughly yet. The injury report, that is. The injury report I'm talking about.
Always got to hit it thoroughly, man.
Tyler, well, no. I mean, you always hope to hit it thoroughly, but anybody out there telling you they are is completely lying. But nonetheless, here's the injury report right here. I love it because you got a lot of these limited guys or did not practice guys early in the week for the Texans. They turned to full participants by Friday afternoon. Derek Barnett, yes, he is a reserved edge rusher. But depth is needed. I mean, they need all the depth they can get at that edge rusher position to keep Will Anderson and Daniil Hunter healthy for the fourth quarter and the second half of football games, right? Mario Edwards did not practice Wednesday or Thursday, was limited Friday. That's good. That's good if he ends up being able to play. We talked about it, Sean, a little bit over the last couple of days, man. These offensive linemen that are back in full pads yesterday and today. Kenyon Green, I'm not full pads, full go is what I meant. Kenyon Green, full go on Friday. That's absolutely big time. Titus Howard, full go on Friday. You look down, Laremy Tunsil, full go on Friday. Damian Pierce, full go. And that's Joe Mixon was still limited today. When it comes to running the football, those offensive linemen and those running backs are big time.
Titus is huge.
Yeah.
He had a hamstring. Yeah. He's only going to miss maybe last week. If he's back and starting at right tackle this week, to me that's huge. You not only heard D'Amico in regards to Nico Collins, you know, who's got dealing with a hamstring.
Yeah.
He'd said initially, like, well, you know, 2 weeks initially, that's kind of what you can expect. And now Nico's going to be out for 4 weeks. He's on IR. I was worried about the same thing with Titus Howard dealing with the hamstring. Big guy, at least 2 games. Oh, boy. You know, what's it going to look like with Blake Fisher out there, potentially whatever the Texans decide to do?
Yeah.
The fact that Titus Howard could be back and, you know, look, you're going to have your starting.
He was full go today, man. He's back.
Yeah, you're going to have your starting offensive line. That's big. Considering, too, Damian Pierce is supposed to be back and ready to roll. Maybe Joe Mixon, we'll see. He's going to be questionable going into Sunday.
Yeah, Joe Mixon is questionable, but I think he's at least somewhat trending in that direction, which – we don't always want to fall for the okey-doke because it has happened. He's practiced on a Friday and looked like he was going to play, and 2 weeks ago didn't end up playing. So
did he practice on the Friday that he was doubtful?
Yes.
Okay, so now he practiced limited, and he's questionable.
A little verbiage change. We'll see what happens. I hope Joe Mixon is in uniform, ready to rock and roll. I hope he's full go, most importantly. Good to have Damian Pierce back in that running back room as well. The running back room being a whole is an absolute plus, and the O-line being a whole is an absolute plus as well. Being a whole. I think where I was going there is the running back room being whole.
Not being whole.
Not being a hole or in a hole.
Yeah. I don't know if they're a hole.
I think
plural, singular. I don't know.
I think you get my point. Here's the deal. There's two guys in the Texans secondary that have been that have been it's already been officially released that they are not going to play Sunday. They are out. Kamari Lassiter and Jimmy Ward. Kamari Lassiter being out, obviously your starting corner opposite Derek Stingley. Mm-hmm. That could be a little bit of a problem, Sean. That could be a little bit of a problem. Look, I'll be honest with you. I'm more worried about Jimmy Ward. I'm more worried about Jimmy Ward than I am Kamari Lassiter.
Why?
Well, because of all the obvious reasons, with Jimmy Ward being a guy that is a vocal communicator, uh-huh. leader, knows the defense like the back of his hand.
It was very important last year when he was on the field, and yeah. you saw a stark difference, in my opinion, at least, when he wasn't.
Yeah.
That was last year. But everything was really kind of new to the defense last year, you yeah. know, with D'Amico. Like, do you still feel the same way this year? Like, given that, look, he's another year older, but players are more comfortable, familiar yeah, with the defense?
I don't want to overthink it. I think it's simple. I think he is a guy, although he has been beaten with explosive plays this year, he's been in position to make those plays. He just hasn't made those plays,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's bigger receivers jumping up over him and making plays, or a quarterback throwing it damn near 70 yards in the air to throw it over his head. I have a hard time holding those against a guy. All I can ask you to do is be in position, man. If you're not good enough to make the play, then in the offseason, I need to go find somebody that is. So it's Jimmy Ward's veteran experience, his ability to communicate, his ability to be where he's supposed to be when he's supposed to be there, I think is going to be more important this week than a guy that has a higher ceiling than Kalen Bullock. That's where I'm going with it. Like,
yeah.
Kalen Bullock okay. has shown the propensity to get beat with his eyes in the wrong place. Last week he's playing quarters coverage and somehow gets beat by 6, 7, 8 yards by was it Mac Hollins?
Yeah.
Who ran by him
yes,
and
was
wide open. Like, that, those kind of plays are the only way you get beat this week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's no reason for you to have your eyes in the wrong place. There's no reason defensively for you to be too aggressive in trying to make plays. There's no reason in zone coverages when your safeties to get beat, and I mean beat by 5, 6, 7 steps, by a guy that goes barefoot everywhere in the everywhere he goes, literally, in Mac Hollins. That is what – and I'm high on Kalen Bullock. I really like Kalen Bullock.
Same. But
this week, I would rather have the guy that's going to communicate, get everybody where they're supposed to be, and then he's going to take the safe route of, hey, I'm a quarter safety. I'm not getting beat over my head.
Yeah.
I would rather that guy be out there than Kalen Bullock, because Kalen Bullock has shown the propensity to do the only thing that can get you beat this week.
Between you and KPRC's Aaron Wilson, you're making me nervous now. And I say that because
I don't think it's any reason to get nervous.
The way that you've laid out Kalen Bullock and the mistakes that he's made in coverage, the mistakes that we know Jalen Petrie yeah. has made in coverage the last couple of years, and now being without Kamari Lassiter, who did the Texans go with at corner? Within the last hour, KPRC's Aaron Wilson has reported that the Texans have pivoted to the person that they were forced to pivot to last year whenever they needed a corner. I believe it was this time Derek Stingley had gone out with injury. D'Angelo Ross is slated to be the starting corner in place of Kamari Lassiter this Sunday against the New England Patriots. Ross, 27-year-old, primary replacement.
Yeah,
as it stands right now, according to current reports.
Well, we'll get into that replacement for Kamari Lassiter down the road here. We got a few more segments. We'll get into what the options look like. What does the secondary look like with Kamari Lassiter now officially out? But the Kamari Lassiter, Jimmy Ward situation is not a huge concern for me, but there is something there in terms of this is a football team that you should absolutely mop the floor with, and mental mistakes and not being where you're supposed to be, which is Kamari Lassiter's forte. That's what he does.
Yes.
And that's obviously what Jimmy Ward does. To have those two guys out and replacing them with guys that either have the propensity to not be in the right place at the right time, or guys that we don't know enough about,
mm-hmm.
that's kind of how you – there's a little wrinkle there that could potentially get you beat. So keep an eye on that. Also, I think it's worth mentioning, Robert Woods is also he has been officially ruled out mm-hmm. of this game as well. What are they going to do in the return game? We'll see if Sims is part of it. We'll see if Tank Dell takes up a little part of it, which I would like to see, although I don't know when Nico's out, if you're down to two receivers, if that's a great idea. I would love to see it. It would be entertaining as hell. But we'll see what happens, how they make up for Robert Woods in special teams more so than the wide receiver position. The one thing I think worth mentioning on the New England Patriots official report is Ramondre Stevenson, running back, has been ruled out for the game. He didn't practice Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. He's got a foot injury. He is out for the game Sunday. Yeah. This is huge for the Texans.
Huge. Because, look, the Patriots have had issues, you know, offensively, maybe thinking against a team that has shown, you know, to be gotten in the run game. Texans haven't been fantastic in that situation. But, look, the Patriots' offensive line, they're on their fifth different starting lineup. They lost their starting center a couple of weeks ago. They don't have him coming in to today. With a rookie quarterback, you'd like to be able to rely on your run game a little bit more. They're going to have to go the backup route. And to what extent they could see success that way, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. But that is a huge one. They've also got a laundry list of guys that are questionable. Count it, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 guys that are officially listed as questionable for the Patriots.
Well, I mean, they're down so many offensive linemen already. Guys that are on IR, guys that are on the PUP list, guys that, by the way, I don't know what the list is of. They all of a sudden got some kind of list of left the team. When I was playing, if you left the team, your ass was cut. Now they got a list.
Why are you getting any run?
If you're not happy and your world's not right and you really don't want to be here and make these thousands and millions of dollars, then, hey, man, we'll put you over here on left the team and you can go do whatever the hell you want to. Just come back in a month, man. We'll have a spot for you. I don't understand what the hell that is. I hope there's nothing wrong with the fella, but it's one of their offensive linemen. In fact, there something very similar happened with the old Notre Dame tight end. That's where's he at now?
Notre Dame
Meyer
tight end.
Meyer with the Raiders.
About his designation?
Yeah, like the last I saw was his designation was he left the team because something in his personal life that has happened before it crept up again, and so he's away from the team.
Oh wow!
I mean, it's the damnedest thing, which is fine. I understand everybody has problems, but damn, since when did the NFL need to make special lists for guys that couldn't do enough to just stay on board in the damn locker room?
Is it Michael Meyer?
Michael Meyer, there you go, tight end. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's wild, man. What these different lists, these guys.
Yeah, well, Patriots had to add Jabril Peppers on a different sort of a designation on their list.
And then there's that. Their
starting safety captain.
Yeah, Antonio Gibson is more of a change of pace back that the Patriots have used a lot this year. He is a really good, smaller, shiftier, kind of a scat back that can cause problems, obviously. They've also, on their depth chart, they've also got Jamichael Hasty, which is it's just an old Baylor Bear, so some folks around here may know him. That's all I've got on the Patriots depth chart right now at running back. But the big news there is Ramondre Stevenson is obviously out. So good news for the Texans. Of course, I hope he's okay, but that's good news for the Texans.
5 o'clock fire.
This is a fascinating story going on in Pittsburgh, and it's not one that just happened. It's kind of been unfolding as we go here.
Yep.
I thought if there was ever going to be a time this year for Russell Wilson to become a starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, it was going to be this week. And Mike Tomlin has announced that official. Russell Wilson probably Steelers' number two quarterback versus the Raiders, unless he's playing some serious mind games with the Raiders and just trying to kind of keep it under wraps. It looks like
we do not
Justin Fields, yeah, right? Justin Fields is going to continue to be the starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh.
Why'd you feel like it was going to be this week for Wilson to be declared the number one?
Well, I think Russ is completely healthy.
Uh-huh. Unlimited.
But two, I watched the game. I didn't look at the box score. Yeah, that guy.
I just caught that. I couldn't hear it. It was muffled, but I was like, yeah, that's Mr. Unlimited.
Yeah, just in watching Justin Fields play, he's leaving a lot on the field.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's leaving a lot out there. Sure, the athletic ability's nice, and he's doing some things where he's coming. It's just a matter of time. And if you want to bet on that, then I would. That's what I would bet on if I were Mike Tomlin. I'd play good defense, and I'd buy time for my quarterback to develop. It looks like they're doing a pretty damn good job with that approach. So I would do that. That's where I would go with it. versus playing the corny ass dude that I know ain't gonna, he's not gonna, he may play a little bit better immediately, but he's not gonna lead anybody anywhere.
Unlimited diary.
That guy right there, that's right. So I would stick in, I would bet on the come with Justin Fields is what I would do.
Bet on the come?
Yes.
Like, what do you mean?
Like, I would bet that he gets better as the season goes and hope that he's significantly better week eight than he is right now.
Okay, I see, I think this is just buying time to ultimately make a decision and have Russell be the number one again. Like, Russ has been hurt, and it, if you believe what Mike Tomlin says, like, yeah, he's probably going to be the number two. He likes what he's seen out there, but there's the health issue, and then there's the rust issue. Okay. So Russ is ready to start playing football again. Let's get Russ a couple of weeks of full practices under his belt, and let's see what Justin Fields does for a couple of weeks. You're still a 3-2 football team right now if you're the Steelers. Yeah, you've lost a couple of games in a row. If you're Mike Tomlin, you're not ready to pull the plug just yet. You want to give Fields an opportunity to kind of right the ship. 2 weeks is about like the maximum amount of time you can afford to do that. If Russ is ready to go in 2 weeks, I think they pull the plug on Fields and make Russ the number one.
If Justin's not playing any better, because I do think he's leaving a lot of like low-hanging fruit on the field. Like he is, I think there's a lot being left out there. And it's hard to continue to ride with that when you've got a veteran quarterback that you know, hey, against certain against cover two, man, I'm going to hit that dig right behind that linebacker, and I can do it blindfolded. Justin's missing some of those things, you know, and it's just it's hard to watch that week in, week out. Now, if he's showing consistent development, then we can ride with it. But I don't know. We'll see exactly how it all unfolds. All right, Kamari Lassiter, the big story on the injury report. What does the cornerback room look like, or the cornerback position look like in the absence of Kamari Lassiter? There's three guys on this roster that could potentially get run. Sean Bajani has already announced that they are at least leaning towards one of those players to start. We'll discuss all of that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Holy smokes!
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from Big City Wings in Humble, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, the Ron Hughley's out. Sean Bajani is in. We are at the Big City Wings in Humble, Fall Creek location. Come through, hang out with us. We got plenty of seats. The vibe is always good at Big City. No matter where you at, the vibe is always good. You come in walking like that, she done had a good day, huh? She done had a good day. You going to have a good weekend, brother. I like that right there now. All right, come out here and hang with us, man.
It's a good spot.
Yeah, it's a great spot.
Love it,
man. The bar scene's great. The patio, it's great patio weather, if you so choose. The Crawdaddy Wings, they're good at every location, but I've gone ahead and crowned the Fall Creek location as having the best crawdaddy wings of all of the Big City wings. They doesn't surprise me though. My boy Ken that manages the place,
yep.
LSU shirt on from New Orleans. He's gonna put just the right amount of spice on them jokers. So it doesn't surprise me that they got the best crawdaddy wings.
I got some coming as we speak.
Don't sleep on them tahini wings too. Now they're pretty good as well. So, and the bar is a full bar, so you can get whatever you need. Come on out, hang out with us again. We're at the Fall Creek location. If you can't get here, there are Big City Wings locations all over the city. Get through there. They got crawdaddy wings. They got them tahini wings. They got all kind of stuff at every single location, and the vibe is always right. Now with the Houston Texans, the injury reports. The final injury reports are out after all the practices this week. Today was a perfect Friday for the Texans. Don't let the ball hit the ground. Be clean. Let's put a bow on this week's game plan and make sure that all of the hay is in the barn, as they say, as we prepare for the New England Patriots. And with all that said, the injury report, now we knew Nico Collins was out. The one thing that we're just learning, it's at least just now being made official, is that the corner, number two corner opposite Derek Stingley, Kamari Lassiter, is out for sure this week. The shoulder injury was too much, couldn't practice, and they've declared him out for this particular game. I don't know how long that's going to last, but he's out this week for sure. Now, As I look at that, there are three different Texans players that I think could either start or see consistent playing time. It's Chris Boyd, sixth year in the league, been with Minnesota, Arizona, and now Houston. 2023 Texans practice squad. At week 8 through 14, he was activated week 14. He's been active all year long as a specialist with the Houston Texans. He actually has flashed and made some plays, some good, couple bad. We've seen, I think I've seen Sean Pendergast throw something against the wall when Chris made a mistake on special teams.
Yeah.
But he's been good otherwise.
Come on, Kadar, Sean.
Yeah, I know, Mom. We got to get Sean every now. We got to hold him down every now and then. He gets a little loose. Kadar Holman, who again. It's his fourth year in the league. He's been with about 42 different teams. He's recently been with the Baltimore Ravens. Actually saw a little bit of time with the Baltimore Ravens. And the Texans, have recently brought him back in and brought him into the fold. He is a guy that has played some last year for the Texans.
He did.
And played well. He's a guy that D'Amico Ryans used through that time where there were so many banged up defensive backs that they were pulling guys in from left and right from all over the place. And Kadar Holman played well. He played well. So he's very capable. And then there's D'Angelo Ross, a fourth-year NFL guy. Again, New England, Miami, and the Texans. He's been in Houston since January of last year, so they're very familiar with him. This is year two with D'Amico and company. So they're very familiar with him. Sean, that's your three choices: Chris Boyd, Kadar Holman, and D'Angelo Ross. I know you've got a little bit of an update on D'Angelo Ross. What do you got?
Well, Aaron Wilson about an hour ago just reported that it appears it's going to be D'Angelo Ross, who is slated to start against the Patriots as the replacement for Kamari Lassiter. So there might be look, if Ross is going to start, okay, maybe Kadar Holman gets the call up as well, or Chris Boyd gets some more run or a look at corner two. Just because, you know, you're going to maybe start Ross doesn't mean he plays the whole game, because now you have to have a backup. So you typically have a backup for Kamari Lassiter. Well, who's going to be the backup for D'Angelo Ross if stuff hits the fan? I just remember D'Angelo Ross, and I was trying to think of the game. I'm almost positive it was the Browns game last season where D'Angelo Ross was burnt in coverage at least once, maybe twice, on massive plays. How the hell he wound up on Amari Cooper, I have no freaking clue. But that started the bitch about not moving Derek Stingley to Amari Cooper, not moving Stingley to the number one wide receiver.
But correct me if I'm wrong. The play where he got beat down the visiting team sideline at NRG Stadium against Cleveland, Amari Cooper. Correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that's the play. That's one of the plays where the safety ended up getting benched because he wasn't where he was supposed to be.
You might be right. Yeah, Petrie. You talking about Petrie?
I think it was Petrie. I'm not positive, but
I know you're right. No, you're right. Petrie was involved on that play, but I don't know that definitively he made. You're asking to go back a long ways now. I remember having this conversation with somebody, and I don't know if that was the wrong call or not, but look, it's
your point. Your point's valid.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a backup corner
a backup cornerback. Okay, it's a journeyman backup quarterback, but ultimately it goes into a different conversation where how are the Texans going to handle this defensively? This weekend It's not like the Patriots have this world beater wide receiver. Like, the Patriots defense is more worried about how they're going to handle the receivers from the Texans standpoint than vice versa. Okay? It's just, you don't want to make yourself susceptible to, you know, the explosives. And it's not like you need to really worry about that, but it's just the fear of the unknown. Rookie quarterbacks have fared very well in the NFL this year. Rookie quarterbacks, at least here in recent memory, have fared very well against the Texans from a franchise point of view. And then look, it's if you're potentially having to go with two rookies
on a week-in and week-out basis at safety and corner within Kalen Bullock and Kamari Lassiter. You take Lassiter out of the equation, maybe you get more of an experienced kind of a guy back there. But yeah. Kalen Bullock is, you know, still that lone rookie who's playing for Jimmy Ward this weekend.
Well, one of the most impressive things that this coaching staff has done, and it all starts with D'Amico Rines, and as it pertains to this conversation, it's all about D'Amico Rines, is they have done an unbelievable job. Like, literally, it's unbelievable how good they've been overcoming injuries. Particularly last year, but I'm sure they're on their way to do it this year as well. When you've got a coaching staff that has a team prepared week in, week out, as well as any team in the league, it's easier to overcome injuries like this.
Sure.
When you are preparing months in advance, your depth in a way of at some point in time, you're going to have to depend on these guys. And I mean, they're not only developing and preparing their starters better than 99% of the league. They're developing and preparing their depth, I mean, on a weekly basis. We've heard Nick Caserio talk about it. This organization has been tremendous with that since D'Amico Rines got here. And so I say all that to say, yes, they're short a corner. But I have 100% confidence, and not just because this opponent doesn't have much of a chance, but I have 100% confidence that D'Amico Rines is going to have a plan that's going to have that guy play to his strengths, and that guy is not going to be the reason that this team gets beat.
You know what the plan should be and probably is?
What's that?
Whoop some ass up front.
Fair.
Because if you're able to get to the quarterback a little bit quicker than you typically have, like maybe they're able to get home this weekend. They should. Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson, maybe they're able to get home many more times than not, and if they are, well, that takes a lot of pressure off the corner.
Well, I like that approach every weekend, Chief, including this one. You know what I mean? So I'm with you.
Yep. Well, it should happen this weekend, I'll tell you that. That was my key to the game, is get your butt to the quarterback and fill up that stat sheet. Not that I necessarily need it to happen, because I start worrying about, like, is Hunter and Anderson, like, okay? Do they fit? Like, what's going on? No. It's time for them to actually do what they're supposed to do. And they're supposed to dominate up front this weekend, because the offensive line of the Patriots sucks. Fair. It's a rookie quarterback. They have no run game. How many other examples of you're supposed to be ass this weekend for the Patriots can I possibly give?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that scares me is Vegas, man. That 6.5-point line, it seems too good to be true. That seems too good to be true.
It's the one time I would take the over.
You mean you would take the Texans to win by more than 6.5?
Yeah, I'd take the over. It's usually a rule of thumb. Don't take the over in the NFL, right? But I'm taking the over.
Well, I mean, you mean you're taking the favorite?
Yeah.
The over would be the point spread, but you're talking.
Yeah, I'm taking the
Texans by more than 6.5.
Yeah. I agree. But that's what I'm saying. I feel like this line should be 10 or 11 at the very least. But
yeah.
And then it'd be a little bit more difficult to take the Texans, right? It's so easy right now to take the Texans at 6.5 for some reason. Usually bets like that tells me Vegas knows something that we don't. It scares the hell out of me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I hope I'm dead wrong, because I want the Texans to just mop the floor with them, and all of us Texans fans can sit at home and have us a good, comfortable Sunday watching the game, and just with a lot of smiles instead of the old sphincter tightening up in the fourth quarter, if you know what I mean. All right, we know Nico Collins is obviously out. There's an opportunity for one receiver, or several receivers, to step up and have a big day Sunday and really for the next month. What receiver has the most to gain this weekend against the New England Patriots in Nico Collins' absence? There's several choices. We'll discuss, as well as we'll pick our Mad Dog players, and Sean Bajani gets to pick Ron Ugly's Mad Dog player. We ain't calling Ron and asking about it. We're just going to let you do it, Sean.
Let's go.
We'll do all that next right here on Sports.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Radio 610.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from Big City Wings in Humble, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Yes, indeed, y'all. Ron's out. Sean Bajani is in. And we're at Big City Wings, y'all. Big City Wings, Fall Creek. Big City Wings up in Humble. right off Beltway 8. How many folks do folks still refer to that as Beltway 8?
Yes. I mean, that's all I refer to.
Every person I know.
Is that an age? Is that an age?
No,
thing?
It is. It's shorter to say and more understand. Like Sam Houston Parkway. Sam Houston Parkway could be anywhere.
I mean, I hit him. Like,
we just love Sam Houston though.
On the Beltway.
That's the Beltway. Beltway, and what? All you gotta do is give the cross street.
The Beltway's grown a lot since the days of it being the Beltway.
It's a big ass circle.
I mean, look here.
99 is gonna become a big ass circle.
I'm gonna tell you, man. Back in the day, I hit the Beltway to go to North Shore. Hit the Beltway, take one of them first couple of exits right there. Boom, hang a left.
Wallaceville or Wood Forest.
Right there. That's baseball in the summers and all that stuff. Yeah, man, that was it. Where you could hit the Beltway, that's North Shore. That's about as far as I strayed, man.
Well, ain't nothing wrong with that. It's still kind of the spot for, like, baseball, like, at least a young age.
Yeah.
You know, I'm up here in Humble, Atascocita area, and you can't get your boy involved in, like, T-ball unless they're, like, 4 years old. Like, I was ready to start him at 3. The only place you can start a boy in T-ball at 3, North Shore. North Shore. So I was like, let's go.
That's a beautiful thing, man. Well, look,
flag football? Let's go, North Shore.
We're going to get to our Mad Dog player picks this week. And Mad Dog 2020, I don't know how many of y'all out there in the building remember the Mad Dog days. But we got Mad Dog players of the week for the Texans. And we're going to let Sean Bajani pick Ryan Ugley's player this week.
If my pick sucks, he has to buy the Mad Dog.
Yeah, Ron has
to
buy the Mad Dog. Now, you can't hijack it, though. You can't do that.
All right.
I mean, I'll let you get a little bit suspect with your pick, but
I
can't
so
let you just.
Funny though.
I can't let you pick like Kenyon Green. I mean, like that. That would be.
I was gonna pick Dalton Schultz, but I'm not gonna do that to you.
Well, Tommy Fleetwood.
You pick. Look here. You pick Dalton Schultz. He's liable to ball out, and then I gotta.
I think he is.
Deal with it.
Because I'm gonna be watching him more
now. He very well may. He's obviously very capable of it. Mm-hmm. I hope he turns a corner from what he did last week. That's for damn sure. Before we get there, though, I want to talk about the receivers on this football team. Without Nico Collins, there's a huge opportunity for somebody to step up and have a monster week and really a monster month of football and take a huge stride. And the question is, which wide receiver has the most to gain in the absence of Nico Collins? Not who the best receiver is, but which one has the most to gain in the absence of Nico Collins? There's a lot of production that has to go somewhere. I don't think all of a sudden C.J. Stroud's not a 300-plus yard passer, and this offense isn't geared towards C.J. Stroud. He's going to spin it around the park. Which receiver has the most to gain in the absence of Nico Collins? Let me give you a rundown. Stephon Diggs, obviously a proven veteran that's carried a pass game before up in Buffalo, and you can argue he did his last year in Minnesota as well.
Mm-hmm.
Tank Dell, super explosive young receiver that's shown a lot of promise through a small sample size. Coming off big time injuries last year, another little bang up this year. Xavier Hutchinson, young, unknown, do everything, kind of a good soldier, will play every special teams, do whatever you ask him to do. Dalton Schultz, I want to throw him in that mix of guys that could benefit here. Savvy veteran that's appeared unhappy with his role recently and could probably use a double-digit target game to get his mind right. Which one of those guys do you believe is really ultimately has the most to gain with no Nico Collins?
Ultimately, if I had to pick one, it's got to be Tank Dell, because even with Nico Collins, Dell has just kind of been waiting for, you know, those moments of, you know, the explosives. And look, you're going to have to get a little bit more creative. Even with Nico, I think Bobby's going to have to get a little bit more creative in what, you know, he's got available to CJ in the pass game. Look, offensive line's got the lack of protection's got a little bit to do with that as well, but that's going to be interesting, too. When things break down, it's been Stroud to Nico. We've seen a little bit Stroud to Diggs, you know, in the scramble drill and stuff like that. I think Diggs is probably that guy, but there is definitely a synergy that exists between Tank Dell and C.J. Stroud as well. C.J. calls Tank Dell one of the very best wide receivers in the NFL, and I think we shouldn't be surprised when Tank Dell gets the opportunity to showcase that again this weekend.
I think I'm with you, man. The Diggs thing is interesting. I just don't know what he necessarily has to gain. Although it is a contract year for him, and in Nico's, when Nico is active, it's easy for him to sit back and say, I understand, I'm playing behind the most productive receiver in the NFL. Like, mm-hmm. It's easy to kind of just sit back and take what I'm fed, ultimately.
Yeah.
I do think his numbers improve. I do think they lean on him probably more than anybody else. But the most to gain, to me, is a critical part of this question. Tank Dell is a guy that I love. I've said it before. I'm the president of the Tank Dell fan club. But we haven't seen enough to know who Tank Dell is. I know he's an explosive player. I know he's shifty. I know he's got twitch like nobody else. I know he's got the ability to separate. But can he stay healthy? Can he go out there and week in, week out, be a guy that flashes the way in which we saw him flash for a handful of games last year? Mm-hmm. I think he can. I'm not doubting him by any means. I'm just saying as it pertains to establishing yourself as a dude in the NFL, if he balls out over the next 4 weeks, the way in which we saw him ball out over what was that last year? Really, what, about an eight game run?
Jeez, I mean, it was all season. Really,
well, remember
until
he started,
he missed
slow.
The final seven games.
Yeah, but he did. So he finished the final seven, so that gets you down to 11 games. And he didn't the first couple of games. They remember we always talk about how they did. He didn't
start.
It was
the Jacksonville game, week four.
Three through 11, 4 through 11 is when he was really made. Hey, this is going to be a guy we're going to build around. If he does that again,
yeah.
I don't know how you deny Tank Dell. Like, I don't know how we deny. I know there's a lot of talk, and I think a little bit of it is probably premature with Tank Dell in particular of the whole, man, this is – we got the three-headed monster, best three receivers in the league. I think you're in that conversation, but have we really seen enough from Tank Dell to believe that this guy is a year-in, year-out – game-changing, difference-making type of receiver? I know he's got the talent, but I need to see more.
You're talking about the health aspect too.
Well, all of it.
That's all of it.
But look at it this year. My exact point is this: dude goes out there and balls last year, right? Shows great chemistry with C.J. Stroud and does some beautiful things, right? And then this year, he's relegated to really a gadget receiver for the 4 weeks he's been healthy.
Yeah, but they're trying to figure out, like, how the hell to use all of these guys Stephon Diggs.
I agree, but guess what? Steph Diggs is on pace to have 1,000 yards. Mm-hmm. Steph Diggs is on pace to have 100 catches. Mm-hmm. Nico Collins was on pace to have the best year, most productive receiver in the league. Those guys' production didn't slip when they were trying to figure things out.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying, look, I understand that everybody, there's not enough balls to go around.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just making the reality of the situation is there's one guy that didn't make. We agree with Tank Dell.
I just
look at the time. We got to pick these things. Tyler, let's go with our Mad Dog picks, man. We'll let you go first. You go ahead and select who your Mad Dog pick is for this week against New England Patriots.
All right, I will lock this in, and I assume if this guy ends up for some reason somehow not playing in the game, I'll be able to replace him like you did with a fella.
Yep.
So I'm going with Joe Mixon.
Okay.
Let's go, yep. Joe. I haven't picked him yet this year.
I'll let you go.
You haven't had an opportunity, really.
Yeah, right. I'll let you go just to so you got an open field for Ron's pick.
Danielle Hunter.
Oh, Danielle Hunter.
Danielle Hunter.
I know you're really
high on Danielle. Scott's worried about.
That was my key to the game.
I figured you'd go with Nico Collins for Ron.
Don't. No, I was really going to go Dalton Schultz, like kill two birds with one stone, pitch
what
you off.
What a son of a bitch.
you know, but I'm going to go to Danielle Hunter because that was one of my keys, or my key to the game is that they've got to get after the quarterback. And I think between Danielle and Will, who I think is going to fill up the stat sheet the most, I think it's Danielle.
I'm going to go with Steph Diggs. I do think this is a game where Tank Dell, I can't pick Tank Dell, by the way, I've already picked him too many times. But I think this is a game where Tank Dell gets back to that guy that was last year, week 3 or 4 through 11, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I think that's a difference in this offense. Like, I think that is. We're sitting here Monday. We're talking about Tank Dell is the reason why we're here today talking about this win.
I don't hate that.
But I do believe that the steady Eddie that's going to be the difference maker throughout, that's going to be, he's going to move the chains, he's going to be trusty, he's going to be, I think it's going to be Steph Diggs.
Go Cougs.
Absolutely love it. All right, man. That's all our time here on Sports Radio 610. That's all our time here at up in Humble at Big City Wings, Fall Creek location. If you're out there, get down to your nearest Big City Wings and catch you some grub, catch you some drinks, watch a little live sports action. It's a beautiful place to be. Sean Bajani, greatly appreciate you. T-Mill, appreciate it. Big Matt out here making sure that we stay dialed in. Until Monday, hopefully it's a victorious Monday.
Yeah.
We love you, baby. Big warning sign. Cowboy butts drive me nuts. And it's on Bajani's passenger door.
It's a magnet.
He's driving around in a silver pickup truck with cowboy butts drive me nuts on his passenger door.
So I walk around the truck, and she goes, no, this, cowboy butts drive me nuts. And I'm like, what the? So I just took it off, and I slapped it on her car. Car's in the driveway again this morning without the magnet on it, so I don't know where your magnet
is. I've created madness.
Sarah Jessica Parker, man, she's always done it for me.
Go Cougs!
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.